Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's news chew time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, the now, I guess, officially, once again, spring... What do you call it? The spring defender?
I think so, because based on what Don said last week, I guess I have to resume that role.
I don't know why Don's picking fights. He's writing checks that his mouth can't deposit.
You don't want to step into the wrong neighborhood here, let's be honest.
Don't poke the bear, Don. Ben is a sleeping giant.
Especially if it's a drunk bear, but we're not getting into that now.
No, we really should. I worry about you.
But hello, everyone.
Ben is back and feeling good. So, Ben, I don't know if you wanted to share with the people what happened, since it has a happy ending. Or not. Keep your secrets shrouded in mystery.
Oh, I don't care.
You should tell it. It's interesting. People want to know.
Sure. So, last week... Well, actually... It was going on 2 weeks, but last week was the week it really started to pick up. Was I had this pain in my neck, and I woke up two Sundays ago, and I thought, okay, you know what, I just slept on my neck wrong, whatever, no big deal, it'll go away within a day or two. And it sort of did, and by that Wednesday, about two Wednesdays ago, it sort of went away. And then last Sunday, it started to really get intense, and I was in a lot of pain. I could barely even walk or stand or even lay down. Sitting was really the only thing I could do. But even then, I could only sit for a certain amount of time before I started to feel some pain. And I was getting really nauseous. And I didn't even go into work on Monday. I had to go to urgent care this past Monday. And I found out that I had muscle spasms in my neck. And I'll tell you what, and I'm sure those of you out there have probably had it in your leg or your back or your neck as well, or wherever. But I mean, I think those are the most common places. It was probably the worst amount of pain I've ever been in my life. It was terrible. I got some prescriptions for them. I was using a heating pad. And I found out that those are kind of caused also through dehydration. So I started drinking a lot more water. And I woke up today and I feel about 98-99% virtually pain-free. So... takes perseverance and trying to get through it and just patience. But damn, that was some pain, I'll tell you what.
I believe it. If it was enough to keep you away from your beloved news chew, it must have been serious. Well, I'm glad you're back. I missed you. Thank you again to Don Pitch for filling in. He is a god amongst mortals. Except his segues. His segues are very bad.
Yeah, I mean, his segues were my segues used to be.
Yeah, we need an art that you sort of have to craft over time. It's like a fine sculpture made of clay. There will be some trial and error at first, but he'll get better.
I mean, he is our Northwest Expedition guide. Yeah. So,
and well, while we're sort of on that subject, let's talk about what's happening in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks to be exact. I will be in Washington D.C. I will not be able to record the podcast until at the earliest Tuesday, and we're leaving on Thursday, so the timing is just bad, and we need to keep giving you shows on Monday. So by request, actually, Kimberly McFerrin will be co-hosting with Ben in my stead, and so that is very exciting. We also may have another guest or co-host. That is debatable, but possible.
It's more like a tri-host at that point, isn't it?
What'd you say?
It's more like a tri-host almost.
A triple co-host? Well, you're still co-hosts. You're all still co-hosts, but there are just three.
True.
And maybe someone is just the guest instead of the co-host. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, well, maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But regardless, Kimberly McFerrin will be recording with Ben, and maybe another mystery guest will get involved. So that's very exciting. Anyways, that's good news and always fun. She's very popular, Ben.
Yes, she is.
The people clamor for Kimberly. That's a sweet banner. Like if she was running for office, We clamor for Kimberly. It's hard to say, though. So I wanted to share with you, Ben, that I learned a lot about myself yesterday. I went to my bartending job at the Chicken and Whiskey and Donut Shack, and yesterday was the Kentucky Derby. It was also the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao boxing fight. So the restaurant was reserved for a private party for the owner of the establishment and like 250 of his closest friends. And I learned some things about myself, Ben. I really hate horse racing, but I equally am bored by boxing. And I think what I've come to realize is that there is a very short list of things that I could care less about than horse racing and boxing. Like, it's a really small list, I think. Because horse racing, there's like 2 hours of pre-race coverage. The race is 2 minutes, and then there's 1 hour of post-race coverage. It's a three-hour telecast for a two-minute event. It's dumb. I hate it.
So it's kind of like the Super Bowl almost.
At least that has some sort of like, that's like a whole game. This is,
yeah, but with football though, it's like actual 10 minutes of actual playing and that's it.
Yeah, and then it's all commercials. I see what you're saying.
It's commercials and, you know, showing coaches on the sidelines. It's essentially the same thing, but I see where you're coming from because I do not care about horse racing at all. And yeah. I just think it's funny that this country, okay, kids, the word of the day today is clamors. But this country clamors around horse racing so much. And it's just like, first of all, not to discredit the minds. I'm trying to think of the word here, but I can't. So we'll just go with the minds of horses or their adaptations to their surroundings. But it's all based on the horse, though. And if the horse doesn't cooperate, then, you know, it's like, then the race is kind of all null and void if you put it all on this horse, because while it is up to the jockey to steer them, it's not like the jockey has full control of what the horse does. You know, it's not like baseball where you control when you swing, or it's not like football when you control, you know, if you throw the ball, if you hold on to it. You know, it. I don't know. I feel like it's a very weird thing for Americans to get so, you know, overly fascinated with, but...
It's just dumb. And the mint julep, which is like the official drink of the Kentucky Derby, is fucking disgusting. I had to make like 40 of those fucking things. They are so goddamn gross. Like, it's bourbon with some sugar and like soda water and then crushed mint. It is not tasty. I don't know why people fight, like, I don't know how people can enjoy drinking it. It isn't good. It tastes like mint cough syrup. Ugh. It's terrible. And people were drinking it by the glasses, and I'm just like, ugh. Yuck. I don't care. I'm sorry, I just don't care about horse racing. And I thought that that was, like, the real realization that I was like, oh, God, horse racing is so fucking pointless. Then boxing happened. So before the fight of the century, or I don't know what the fuck they were billing it as. How about this? The only two boxers that I knew by name.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I looked at it. The only two boxers that I actually know about. And, if you heard that silence, don't worry, you haven't gone deaf. It is at this point in our show that Ben's power went out for no fucking reason. Due to budgetary constraints, we now take you to the podcast already in progress. And there's Marilyn Hartman with her cold, dead, fucking black eyes, and she sits down next to me on the plane, Ben.
You just can't get away from her.
I can't stop it. Everywhere I turn, there she is. Whether it's in my dreams, my nightmares, she's always like the punchline to the joke. She's ruined my life. Much like boxing has ruined the lives of everyone who has ever attempted it. Just to bring it full circle.
And basically, I think that's why the power cut out, because the power didn't even fucking care about boxing. So who?
Yeah, if the power wasn't good enough for boxing, why? But, you know.
So Lou, one more thing before we begin.
Sure.
So this today is the 3rd of May.
Mm-hmm.
This is my final week of college.
Oh, and how do you feel about this?
Relieved and terrified.
Yep, and a little gassy. Just kidding.
No, I wouldn't say that. Just kidding. But just kind of relieved that it's kind of pretty much all over at this point, and just kind of terrified as to what comes next.
Yeah. So as you should be. It is very scary. It sucks for a while. I won't lie to you, but you'll be all right. You're a smart guy. You'll figure it out.
So. Yeah, so that's happening. I have a presentation to give on Tuesday, and then I have an online final to take Wednesday, and then I'm done. So.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, so the spring, whatever the fuck I am now, needs work, so give me work. That doesn't involve things to do with the spring.
Give me work. If only it were that easy, Ben. give me work.
Give me those jobs that grind jobbies into jobland, yeah. As Charlie
Fleiss put it. Fire out of a cannon into jobland.
Exactly. That's how the real world works, I think.
Yeah,
I
sort of, Ben. That's...
sort of. Let's go with the sort of on that.
But... kind of how it works. Ben, you want to know what I honestly thought you were going to say? Was I thought you were going to say that tomorrow is May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. And then I thought you were going to nerd out.
Oh, well, Lou, May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, well, May the 4th be with you, since we'll be posting this on May the 4th.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, that works.
It sure does.
But you know what could work, Lou?
Oh, what's that, Ben?
Chess in the Olympics.
Oh, all right. You've got my attention.
Story number one reads, chess official says, we'll use pieces made of ice to get into the Winter Olympics. Chess officials have long lobbied for their sports inclusion into the Olympic program. And now they think that they have a shot to get into the Winter Olympics more so than the Summer Olympics. The Olympic Charter clearly states that winter sports must be practiced on snow or ice. So what the Chess Federation suggested was they have chess that is on ice. They said that it comes before curling. So I don't know if it would be like curling almost.
How could... I mean, there's no way it could be like curling, because...
No, it couldn't.
How could you play chess like that? You can't play shuffleboard chess.
Yeah, it's not like Harry Potter chess with the giant pieces.
So here's... Ben, I've given this a lot of thought. I'm willing to consider allowing chess to be an Olympic sport. However, the chess player also has to be able to carve his own pieces out of ice. So all the chess pieces have to be carved by him too, hand carved. And it can be done leading up to the Olympics, but like under regulation and supervision. That's the only way I'll accept it as some sort of sporting event.
Or if they're like skating simultaneously while playing chess?
Nah, even that though, because well, that could be fun because they might fall down from time to time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that might be kind of fun. But again, the only way that I'm willing to allow chess to be considered an Olympic sport, like a sport for Olympic athletes, is if you are carving the rook, which is the horse piece, you know, out of ice, you know, and like
isn't the rook the castle?
I don't know. I really don't know, Ben.
I'm not gonna sit
here and pretend like I know what all the chess pieces. I mean, I know what a pawn is and king and queen and bishop. And oh yeah, you know what? I do know what they all are. I'm just dumb. but anyways, I mean. I mean, they really are really working hard to try to make this a reality, but I just feel like it's pointless and really super stupid.
Now, it doesn't specify in here, and I'm assuming if it were to be played on ice, they would be pieces of substantial size. You agree, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, they'd have to be. It couldn't be like, well, actually, it'd be really amazing if they did it like on a little tiny chessboard, just like out of ice. But if it's like on ice, yeah, it'd have to be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. And one of the things said that it could be played on snow. And I'm like, well, how the fuck does that work?
I don't know.
How do you play? Do you use like real people as the pieces?
But for the president of this federation, the chess federation, to say that curling is basically chess on ice. I'm like, it's not, because pieces in chess don't move that way unless it's the queen.
Yeah.
They can't just move five spaces ahead. So I think it'd be really hard to maintain because of the ice, and it'd be sliding all over the place. So I just want to know, if they were bigger pieces, then how do you get them to move without them breaking?
Yeah.
Because if you're using like a machine and it goes too hard or too far, it's going to break the piece. So I'm just kind of curious how that would work. I think it'd be really cool, but it's just the logic behind it, I don't know. So I don't know if maybe like people would take, like, would basically mimic the pieces. Like, you'd have like a line of people that would be the pawns, a person that would be the king, the queen, the knight, the rook, the bishop, whatever. I mean, that could be something, but then again, it'd still be kind of weird, because it'd be like you're watching a play then almost.
Yeah, you know, and then at the end of the story, they talk about there are a couple of other sports that are trying to get on the Olympic Committee's radar. One is auto racing. No thanks. Football. I mean, yeah, let's do that. We will destroy all other countries. And but the one that really caught my eye, Ben, was tug of war. Tug of war as an Olympic event? You mean the children's game that you play at picnics and family reunions? You got to be fucking kidding me, right? Why don't we just make jump rope an Olympic sport while we're at it? Better yet, double Dutch. How about hopscotch? Anybody up for some four square? What other fucking weird middle school games can I think of? Or
monkey bars?
Yeah, monkey bars. How about spinny slides?
Hula hooping?
Hula hooping. That that kind of mini zip line where you run and jump and grab it and slide to the other end on the playground?
You know what would be a cool Olympic sport is dodgeball.
That could be cool. I feel like dodgeball would be cool anyways, but they're like, when they made the movie Dodgeball, I feel like there was, for like a hot second, like there was all of a sudden like a professional dodgeball league, and like it was on television, but that quickly died.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The Ocho. It's an interesting, strategy, that. Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
But so, Lou, yay or nay to chess in the Winter Olympics?
No. Again, if they're willing to, again, if the Olympians who are playing chess also carve their own pieces, and like part of their scoring is based on how beautiful their ice sculpting is, if they're not willing to make that concession, I'm not willing to agree to chess being an Olympic sport. It's not a sport. It's fucking sitting in a chair. What the fuck is athletic about sitting in a chair? At least in the NASCAR driving, they have to turn a steering wheel. You're lifting your arm to move a piece. Fucking fat, lazy, shitty people do that every day with remote controls and Cheetos. It's not a sport. Carve your chess pieces, we'll talk.
Yeah, I mean, I love chess. I love playing a game of chess. But, yeah, it can't be an Olympic sport unless there's some type of physical interaction with it. Now, what I was thinking with the people being part of it would, and this would be kind of weird, but I was thinking like each person would have like a headset on, and the person that's playing would tell them like, you know, pawn three, move up a space, or, but I don't know how that would work though. I just think that's getting a little too involved now, but that's the only possible way I could see it actually being an Olympic sport, other than the fact of them actually having giant pieces and moving them.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
Plus, it would take forever. It'd be like a game of Monopoly. It would not end.
Yeah. It's going to be a big fat no, just all across the board. I appreciate the efforts to make chess cool, but come on, man. I mean, you're only slightly worse than tug of war. At least tug of war involves some sort of physical contest. Like, Chess isn't a sport, dude. It just isn't. It's a game. Sorry.
Can't disagree with that there. So unfortunately, Mr. President of the Chess Federation, it's the International Chess Federation. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, because curling does not even compare to being chess on ice.
Speaking of nerds, Let's go to story number two.
Nice.
Yeah, I liked that one. Because, you know, nerds.
Don, take notes.
Yeah, that's how you do it, dude. The headline reads, Japanese real-life superhero cracks down on drunk driving. All right, I'm going to try to say his name without laughing. Meet Priest Shinhiro Kumagai, a mild-mannered environmental artist by day and real-life superhero by night. Dressed up as a Japanese sci-fi TV hero, Kamen Rider 1? Kamen Rider 1. Ben, are you familiar with Kamen Rider 1?
I'm familiar with it, but not anything that it does. I'm just familiar with the character.
His mission is to rid Kitakyushu City of drunk drivers. So by day, he makes statues out of old aluminum cans. And then he gets in his grasshopper superhero suit and goes out and catches drunk drivers. Ben, look, I love superhero movies. I nerd out about it. But this guy is going to just get himself killed. Like, right? That's the natural progression of what's happening here. First of all, he's dressed like a bug. Second of all, he's on a crotch rocket. The end game here, Ben. All the signs point to him being splattered on a windshield. True or false?
Well, that has to be one pretty big windshield.
I mean, semi-truck, city bus.
Yes, no, I don't know. I like it, but it's just... It's funny to me because he's... I mean, he does have... It says, even with the support of the police, being a superhero in real life can be an expensive affair. But he doesn't worry about the money because he's funded by a local Buddhist priest. So, more power to this guy because drunk driving is seriously a problem. And I don't know how big of a problem it is in Japan compared to America. But anywhere it's a problem. And, I mean, good for this guy to try and do that. But he's going to have one bad turn and it's going to be game over.
Yeah, man. This is like straight out of a comic book. Except instead of, like, fighting rapists and murderers, he's just stopping drunk people. So, you know, I guess I'll take it. Like, on the level of superheroes, he's, like, an E-list. Well, yeah, right? Because that'd be below D-list. Like, he's the worst superhero ever in functioning theory.
Well, hey, now, let's, you know, he is better than Aquaman.
It's all right. It's a toss up. That one is, I'm 50-50 on that one. Cause I feel like I'd get some use out of Aquaman. Like, I feel like there would come a time where I'd probably need that guy. I don't know that I ever need the Grasshopper Man. Common ramen noodles.
Well, I don't know. One shopkeeper, said that, quote, he's doing a very good job. On one hand, it's quite geeky and comical, although the kids love to see him riding around. Kamen Rider is a big thing in Japan, end quote. So, you know, maybe he's doing it just to, I don't know, lighten the mood for people, you know, give him a little chuckle here and there. But he's not the first to do this, though. There was a guy last year who Japan had their very own Dark Knight called Shibataman. Or, which is like, it's supposed to be Chibi Batman. Chibi means small in Japanese. So it's like Chibi Batman.
Small Batman? So just Peter Dinklage is Batman?
Instead of Peter Parker, it's Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, it's Peter Dinklage as Batman.
And it says, whose mission was to make people happy. So, I mean, it's a fun story. I like this.
You know what? Peter Dinklage would actually be an awesome Batman. I'm just saying.
He
kind of would be. I mean...
But could he do the Christian Bale rapist voice, though?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why you have to have
Christian Bale. Have you heard the Ben Affleck Batman voice? It's like distorted.
I go Gotham.
Like Bane. Yeah, it's like distorted. It's odd. It's super cheesy. The trailer for Batman versus... Sorry, sidebar, because we're talking about superheroes. So not really that big of a sidebar. The first real trailer for Batman versus Superman where you hear him talk, I literally thought it was Bane for a second. Because he says, in the trailer, he says something like, "Do you bleed?" And then he goes, "You will." I'm just like, oh my god. This dialogue already sucks, asshole.
Did he ask him if he was a big guy?
No, but it's it. But again, it like the dialogue was like that, and so and his voice is all distorted, so it's probably not going to be good, which breaks my heart because I do love me some Batman. This guy's not Batman; he's a weird little bug man. Speaking of little bug man,
but while we're on the topic of superheroes, just real quick, I need to ask you though.
Yeah.
Now with the new Avengers movie being out, is that something you'd want to see?
Yeah, I would go see it. I mean, here's the problem is I don't know that I really need to see it in the theaters, though. Like, that sounds terrible. Like, I really didn't like the first one, and so I'm nervous that I'll feel the same way about the second one. I don't know. I'll watch it. I watch all the Marvel movies, even if I, you know, don't really care, because I just like superhero stuff.
You think we're going to get a movie made about Kamen Rider someday?
About who? No. I mean, maybe. I'd probably watch it. I'd watch Kamen Rider.
What do you think his superpower is, besides tracking down drunk people?
I don't know. Maybe it's giving interviews. That's right, Ben. I picked this story to be this week's vague interview story of the week, buddy. So get ready. You're going to be playing Priest, whatever the hell his name is. We'll just call him Priest Ramen. Priest Ramen Noodles. So you'll be playing Priest Ramen Noodles.
All right.
Can you tell us what inspired you to become a crime fighter?
Bad people.
Oh, okay. You can speak more. I know you're trying to keep your identity safe, but you can feel free to open up to us. We're going to distort your voice, you know, after the fact, just so you know.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So you're gonna speak Japanese now. Okay. So now, when you accost a perpetrator of drunk driving, do you have a specific approach that you use to let them know that you know you're there in peace?
Sort of.
Okay. Because I mean, a man dressed like a bug. Trying to pull me over on the side of the road. This is probably something that I wouldn't do. Like I wouldn't pull over. So I'm just curious how you get them to pull over to stop.
Well, I kind of just drive and they see me, so I think that might constitute enough because I am wearing the bug suit on the motorcycle, so I just drive and you know they see me, you know.
Was that your answer?
Hi.
Okay, that's getting confusing. So, one final question, and I'll let you get back to work. Why the crotch rocket choice for the motorcycle?
Fast.
And that's how we play the vague interview game, everybody. Good to have you back, Ben.
Yes, good to be back. I wish I knew more Japanese.
It's too bad that you don't. Domo. Arigato.
Arigato gozaimashita.
What was that?
That was terrible, and I feel
what
bad.
What did you just say?
It's a more formal way to say thank you.
How do you
say Because there are different ways to say thank you depending on who you're talking to.
How do you say
to.
That?
Arigato gozaimashita. That's the most formal way to say it.
Arigato gozaimashita.
Because there's arigato, arigato domo, arigato gozaimashita. So... there's different ways to say it. And I might be butchering it a little
you
bit.
You probably are. If I know you, you're butchering it somehow. If I know you, Benjamin. But you are pretty good at that vague interview game.
I do what I can.
You're pretty, pretty good. You know what's not vague, Ben?
What's that, Lou?
Treasure maps.
Oh, God, is this going to involve Nicolas Cage?
No, but... also, maybe yes. I can't see into the future. It could, in the future, involve Nicolas Cage. The headline reads: Man discovers a treasure map, a hand, and coins in his attic. In Tampa, Florida, while clearing out his attic, a guy found a box that has old Spanish coins, a treasure map, and a skeleton's hand with a ring on one finger. Mr. Michael Lopez was quoted as saying, quote, "It seems as though they belong to my great grandparents because there is a picture of them in there." A local curator said that the map appears to be a treasure map, but it was actually probably a copy of a treasure map. And it appears to only be like not even 100 years old. And they've had some people look at the hand, but they don't know if it's human or not. Ben, my question to you is, now that we've talked about the story, When can we expect National Treasure 3, The Curse of the Handon Coins?
Well, I've already called up Nicolas Cage, and he said he's going to be on it. So,
of course he's going to be on it. He's going to be in everything. All you have to do is get a hold of him, and he's going to be in your movie. If I told him that I wrote a movie about a talking pigeon, and it would all be done like through claymation, but that I was going to pay him $2 million, he'd totally do it.
So yeah, soon is what I can say. Soon.
I mean,
the hand is a little creepy because it certainly looks like it could be a human hand.
I mean, what other kind of animal, like what other creature is going to have a ring on the finger? Of course it's a fucking human hand. It's not like somebody chopped off a gorilla hand and put a fucking wedding ring on. Or did they? That'd be fucking disturbing. The old Spanish coins, at first, they just look like rocks to me, like in the pictures. I'm like, oh, they're just fucking stones. Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's interesting that, like, you go into your attic and you just, you can still just discover weird shit. Like, at least we still live in that time, because I feel like in the future that won't ever be the case.
I just find it weird, though, that, you know, he lives in this house and they never found this before. That it was just there.
Yeah.
Because if it meant anything of value to anybody at one point, I feel like it wouldn't have been buried in the attic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously you can tell that these coins were something. The one kind of looks like a shell almost, which is kind of cool. Some of them are really faded, but... And it's weird because they're all on, like, this string. So I don't know if, like, maybe they were currency, per se. But it's kind of cool. The hand is just really fucking weird.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bizarre. But I would totally go see a movie starring Mike Lopez as Indiana Jones. Like,
it couldn't be any worse than the fourth one they made.
No, that would be impossible. I could write a better Indiana Jones movie taking a dump. Like just real quick and some notes. Like that.
While he's taking one or while you're taking one.
Who cares? Either way.
Either way, I think it's still be better.
I think that I can probably at least provide you with some sort of better artifact than some crystal skulls that are
no Shia LaBeouf.
Aliens. And then apparently, if I get in a refrigerator, it'll survive a nuclear blast. I didn't know that. Didn't know that was a thing, Ben. But anyways, this is just a cool story. I just like this story. I am concerned about whose hand that is. I'm hoping that his great grandfather was not like some sort of Spanish witch doctor.
Yeah. If he was a witch doctor, I'm sure the hand wouldn't be there anymore. I'm sure he would use it like in some concoction.
Maybe it's,
Maybe it was like a trophy. Like he was like a dictator or something. And like
yeah,
tough.
Or like maybe it's the hand of someone famous. Like maybe it's the hand of Ponce de Leon, or like some adventurer, some Spanish conquistador. That'd be cool.
Or just the hand of some alcoholic guy.
Or Johnny Depp. It's just Johnny Depp's box from Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
That could be it too.
The Curse of Johnny Depp's Box. That came out funnier than I meant initially. Enough about you, Ben. Quiet you. That someone said that to me the other day. Quiet you, and I laughed for like 3 minutes straight. I don't know why. There's something about that phrase that just strikes me as very funny. Quiet you. Anyways, moving on. You have to say it with the right emphasis. Ben, how much?
I feel like I would try that. It would just not end up well at all. It would just be terrible.
Not with that attitude.
Quiet you.
See, it works. Quiet you.
Huzzah!
Listen, kid, you're gonna be a star, but you gotta have a gimmick. I, for one, prefer the hula hoop.
Johnny, play the number on the piano.
Step right up, folks. See the one-eyed man. I mean, he's a two-eyed man, but. He also only has one eye in one eye.
That just blew my mind.
Yeah, it did.
That got too deep.
It's not really. I was just stating nonsense mostly. But like, I sometimes wish that I would find a treasure map, Ben. Don't you ever wish? Like, I think about like the movie Goonies, where like you're like bored one day and you stumble upon a fucking treasure map or like some sort of fucking wild adventure. Like the Da Vinci Code, but with like less death implications. Like the Goonies. Yeah. Goonies is a good example. That's a movie you've probably never seen.
I've seen the Goonies.
Good for you.
I've seen part of the Goonies. But, you know, speaking of, like, not the Goonies, but speaking of finding things, though, my dad's old house, well, it's not his old house, it's his current house, but when he first moved there, it was an old house, and he remodeled it, basically, the entire thing. And he took out some rooms, and he was digging up some stuff, and we found these bones. And we don't know what these bones were. We don't know if they were human bones or, like, an animal bones from an animal that had died. They were just bones, and it was kind of weird. And I don't think it was some Indian burial ground, because I don't think they have any in Ohio.
Dude, it was probably just somebody's dead pet from 100 years
that,
ago.
That's what we probably were thinking at the time. But it was just kind of weird that we found these bones, and we're just like, well, this is odd. And then there was this giant chain. I'm not sure why or what purpose it served, but there was this room, and this giant, like, metal link chain just went from the ceiling to the ground, and I'm not sure what purpose it served, but it was there.
Sex dungeon. Wah, wah, wah.
No, sick. I mean, it was like a really thick metal chain. Like, I don't know if, like, it was like a workroom, like, you know, like a metal shop workroom or something, but it was just weird.
Does your dad still have that big-ass no, thing?
No, he got rid of that room. He got rid of a lot of stuff. I think the part that room was in, he actually turned into a garage.
Oh.
So I don't know what he did with it.
He should have tried to sell it. That's probably a lot of metal. Probably could have got some money for it.
So I think that was probably like 15-some years ago.
Oh.
I'll have to ask him about that, though.
Yeah, I wonder what he did with that giant metal chain.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, that's probably the only thing I can think of where we found something. I've never personally found, like, you know, my great-grandfather's, you know, box with a Spanish hand in it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Assuming the hand is Spanish, I don't know. It could be Norwegian. I have no idea. It doesn't specify where the hand came from. So.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You know who else isn't afraid to lend a hand?
Who's that, Lou?
The guy in our next story. Wow, that one was, even for me, that one was impressive. The next headline reads, "Man hangs up on Pope twice, thinking he is an imposter." A gentleman by the name of Franco Rabuffi apologized to the Pope because the Pope reached out to him after Franco wrote the Pope a letter. He hung up on the Pope two times because he thought he was being pranked. That's an honest mistake, Ben. Like, if somebody called you and was like, "Hey, Ben, it's the Pope," you'd be like, "Go fuck yourself." But this Pope does that.
Well, you know, he doesn't fuck himself, but...
No, yes, I'm sorry. And I shouldn't say fuck when talking about the Pope.
Because this Pope's actually really cool.
I do like this Pope quite a bit. He's definitely my favorite Pope. I'm glad I voted for him.
Pope 2016.
I'd vote for this Pope to be president. I don't even care that he has no political background. He just...
I don't care that he's an American. Vote for him.
He just gets it. He gets what's important in life. He understands. But anyways, so this poor guy, I mean, you kind of feel bad for him. Like, he actually was able to, like, meet the Pope, though, and apologize in person, which is sort of cool. Sort of a cool
thing. Yeah, because, I mean, it's cool enough that he actually wrote to the Pope, and the Pope actually, you know, was like, "I'm going to talk to this guy. I'm going to, you know," because the Pope's probably a really busy man. So I think that's really cool that the Pope actually reached out to him, not once, not twice, but three times, because on the third time, Rabuffi was like, "Well, shit, maybe it actually is the Pope." I mean, that'd be like if, you know...
Shit, maybe it is the Pope.
I mean, that'd be like if, I don't know, Obama called you. I don't know what he'd call you, but...
This is President Obama, and... I just wanted to say hello.
Right.
Clint. Yeah, see? You'd hang out.
And then he calls me again and is like, "No, but seriously, this is Obama." Yeah. I'm like, "No, it's not."
No, it is not Obama.
And then he calls me a third time. I'm like, "Holy shit, is this actually Obama?"
This could happen to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, this could happen to anybody. I mean, Stephen Harper with Canadians, the Queen with, you know, English people. I don't know if Stephen Harper is still even the Prime Minister of Canada, but that's not the point here. Point is...
Yeah, we're not here to talk about Canada, Ben. Get back on topic.
Point is, though, it's really cool that the Pope actually reached out to a guy like this. And it's not something you see every day. So it just kind of puts a smile on your face. Because it's funny. He said, Rabufi said, quote, I was speechless, but Francis came to my rescue saying that what had happened was funny, end quote. So the Pope got a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
So, hey.
The Pope gets the joke.
Hey, I guess what you did there.
Yeah. I like that Pope. He's a good dude. And he was good. And he was good enough to not damn this man to hell for not answering his phone calls. So that was really nice of the Pope.
Yeah, I mean,
we love you, Pope. That,
I mean, that because see, when I get a call on my phone, which is very rare, it's usually from a number I don't know in like some random ass state, like fucking Alabama, and I never answer my phone because I don't know that number. I don't know anybody in Alabama, so I don't know why you're calling me. So unless it said like Pope on it, I wouldn't think it'd be the actual Pope. So. And one thing I want to know is...
It'd be amazing if on your caller ID it just said Pope.
Yeah, that'd be cool. the one thing I kind of want to know is... and maybe this is just something I'm looking too much into, but how exactly did the Pope get his phone number?
Ben, he prayed for it, obviously. Jeez.
I didn't know if there was like some NSA bullshit going on.
No, God sends him a list each week.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you're totally unfamiliar with how Christianity works. Yeah, the Pope just gets it from God.
Okay. Because I'm like, if there's some like NSA bullshit going on, that's gonna be kind of sad. But I wasn't sure exactly how he got the man's number.
I don't think the Pope does drones. He does prayer drones.
But I can't argue that.
Yeah, you could try. It's very flimsy. It's a very flimsy premise. What I'm throwing out right now.
I'm trying to catch what you're throwing down. I don't know if that's how the kids say it these days.
I don't think any kids say that. Maybe.
Oh, that was a cool phrase in like the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been.
I don't know. I'm asking for a friend here. I have no idea.
I'm asking for a friend. That old standby. I'm not saying I would do it, but if I did.
But if I did,
I'd probably do it like this. So, anyway, so if you get a phone call from the Pope, just FYI, that motherfucker does house calls. So, just, like, if you get a prank phone call from the Pope, if the Pope is like, do you have Prince Albert in again? And don't be surprised, he'll do it.
I just like that this Pope has a good sense of humor, though. That's, that's always important to somebody, right?
The News Chew supports the Pope for his presidential run in 2016.
Yes, we Team are Pope. Fully back in.
Yeah.
So we want to get that trending on Twitter. So anybody who listens to this podcast and has a Twitter account, hashtag Team Pope. We want to get that trending, okay?
Or Pope 2016.
Pope 20, either one. Pope 2016 or Team
Sounds
Pope.
Sounds like a Bible verse when we say it like that. Pope 2016. Be good to each other because that's all that fucking matters. Pope 2017. Seriously, just read the last sentence.
Pope 2018. You may expect a call from the Pope in the future.
Right, yeah. Pope will call you. You don't call Pope. Pope calls you. But you
I wish that was a real thing. I really do.
What? Yeah, it'd be fun. I would love for the Pope to call my house or call me on my cell phone. Like, and I'd love for it to be in public so, like, I could be like, excuse me, I gotta take this. It's the Pope. And people who know me will find that just amazing. If me, the most atheist fuck on the planet, is just like, excuse me, the Pope is calling. People will be like, Lou, what is this? The Pope and I, we're friends.
But you know who's not friends, Lou?
Please tell me, Ben.
Our last story of the day, which deals with your favorite country, China.
It sure
does. When I say you, I mean the plural you.
Right, the collective.
Yes. So, in China, it reads, Shanghai citizens don't deserve free toilet paper. Shanghai authorities mulling a free toilet paper service for the city's public lavatories, recently conducted a trial run to gauge the costs and see how citizens would respond. The outcome was disconcerting. So they had like this 6-month test for public toilet users, and they found out that they consumed about 1.6 meters or 5.2 feet of rolled toilet paper per visit, which is 2 feet more than the international standard of 3.2. Shanghai has a notoriously bad track record when it comes to free toilets, apparently, in public toilets, where they found a case last year where the Shanghai Zoo, which has an average of about 5,000 visitors per day, was quickly scrapped due to bathroom attendants being unable to keep up with the sheer volume of demand. So it's kind of funny that this is an actual problem. It says that there are 17 districts in the municipality with 2,600 public laboratories. This puts an estimated total cost on the proposed toilet paper service at about $3,305 per public toilet for the whole city. And that's not really small when you think about the entirety of the city, just not just one. Because if you – let me do the math on that real quick. Because if you're taking just one toilet and it's already $3,000, that is about – let's see here. 175,165 for the entire 17 districts, Lou.
Yeah, that's a lot. I'd like to go back and just note that you referred to the lavatories as laboratories, like laboratory, and I thought it was funny. That's all, Ben. I just think it was a slip of the it was a Freudian slip of the brain.
It was my English me coming out.
Yeah, it was so your so laboratories. I think we should probably just call them that. It sounds fancier. This is just kind of like this is why overpopulation is such an issue in China. It's because of the toilet paper, obviously. It's ripping the toilet paper industry to shreds.
Nice.
Yeah.
I approve of that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. For me at least. I'm just shocked at how many public toilets they have.
Well, I mean, when you have a country that has over a billion people,
I guess, but like it's very startling that they have so many public toilets. Like that the city is responsible for. Like I think about big cities and I feel like there are no like city public restrooms anywhere in any like, so I don't know. It just seems interesting that they have so many fucking public shitters all over the place.
If you want
to cut down on the toilet paper budget, just cut down on the number of fucking bathrooms.
And it's kind of amazing that, you know, and I'm not saying they haven't obviously prepared for this, but you know how many people live in this country. I feel like your expectations for things need to be a little bit higher in how much you need to have in bulk of things. And you can't limit somebody to how much toilet paper they can use because, you know, that's unless they're like taking the roll and like inserting part of it into the toilet and just flushing to where the whole roll goes down the toilet. They're probably using it to clean themselves, which is what toilet paper is supposed to be doing. But it's kind of amazing that it costs that much money to have public laboratories.
I mean, that's a staggering sum of money. Like that's a lot. I agree. Like they should be reevaluating this. But again, I think the solution is simple. You just need less fucking public bathrooms.
Less people.
Well, that they're working on that.
Because there was an issue last year in Shanghai that dealt with wealthy housewives. they had to open nursing stations for these mothers, which came fully stocked with complimentary diapers, wet wipes, sanitizers, and sterilizers, and even mechanized breast pumps. So I imagine the cost for that went way through the roof.
Is that your motorcycle neighbor?
Yeah, that asshole.
Fuck that guy. What a dick.
Yeah.
A tiny dick. Yeah.
But yeah, so I can't even imagine what the cost of that was. But, you know, the cost of this toilet paper is kind of amazing. So the only thing I can think that they do is
bidets?
Start charging people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bidets.
Oh, no. Well, they could use bidets. I mean, I don't see why they couldn't. But then again, they'll probably have an issue with how much water.
Yeah, then they're going to run out of water. Right. It's a vicious cycle. Just let them poop in the streets. No, that's not good.
What they could just do is just, you know, instead of using, like, cow manure, you know.
How about just telling people to go home to poop?
Well, you can't help it if you're out in a boot, out and about shopping.
Well, yeah, but, like, if you're out and about shopping, couldn't you just go into stores that have bathrooms? That's what I'm saying. Like, they have, like, all these public restrooms. Well,
yeah, but what if those bathrooms are already being taken up by other people because, you know, they had the same idea?
Well,
now you're just running into a real problem here, China.
I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, you're actually doing a pretty good job of defending why they have public toilets. I see why you would want to have them, but at the same time, I just feel like they're unnecessary.
Yeah, because unless, you know, a group of 100 people simultaneously ate a bad batch of whatever the last night and all have stomach issues from it, I don't think public bathrooms are going to be in demand.
It's an interesting choice of words. Supply and demand, I guess. Well, I mean, when you have a country full of people eating, you know, bean sprouts and shit, you know, I guess maybe they have to go to the bathroom more because there's so much water in all of their foods.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't they just take their excrements and just put them into the tea like they were doing earlier
the poop tea.
Yeah, it cures cancer, right? So why don't they just
do
that
instead? But that doesn't help us with the toilet paper problem, pal. Doesn't help us with the TP problem.
But it gets rid of the bathrooms.
Indeed. You know, we've reached a point where, you know, I think Chinese people should just have their buttholes sewn up. I think really that's what this is telling us. So, all right, so they're taking away people's right to poop in public. Now, here's the question for you, Ben. How would they, if this is a problem, how would they have not tried to, like, figure out a way to encase the toilet paper so it could not be stolen?
Well, I don't think the problem is that it's being stolen. I think the problem is people are using too much
of it. Well, no, it is. There is also a problem with it being stolen that is addressed in the article that they're having problems with having toilet paper in there, and then the attendants can't keep up because they have to keep replacing toilet paper because people keep stealing it. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. But it also cites that recently Venezuela, just this past February, Venezuela announced widespread shortages of toilet paper.
Yeah, and it says Japan's Ministry of Economy recently advised its population to stockpile toilet paper to prepare for an emergency.
Yeah. So I mean, my question to you, Ben, is that are we running out of toilet paper?
Well, I don't know, because it says even if China imported public toilet paper instead of cutting down forests, the impact of 24 million people in Shanghai alone consuming overusing public toilet paper would be ecologically ruinous. So even if they are getting more paper, you know, it's cutting down more forests, which I don't know. Now you're going into a whole different argument here and it's going to get really ridiculous.
Yeah.
But is it going to get to the point where China's number one import is going to be toilet paper?
That'd be amazing. It might already be kind of like that, or like paper products.
Holy shit. Lou, I just thought of something.
What?
You know how we can get rid of our debt?
How's that?
Give China toilet paper.
It's not a bad idea. It sounds like they need it.
Because we have enough of it. We don't have nearly a billion people in our country. So all toilet paper that isn't being used here, we can use that, and that can shave off some debt because, you know, they're spending all this money to do that. If they're not spending money because they have the toilet paper, then they're saving money, which could be in turn us paying them back.
Man, I see what you're saying.
Oh, my God. I am a financial wizard.
You are some kind of sorcerer, Ben.
That's probably terrible economics, I know, and every financial advisor out there that does not listen to this show is still going to be shaking their heads at me.
Yeah, probably, but the important part is that you tried and that it actually isn't a terrible idea.
So, hey, there we go. I mean, what more can Lou and I give you people as ideas? You know, we come up with movie ideas. We come up with the way to solve the U.S. problem with China economically. We're doing all this for free.
Now, yeah, this is a free podcast. You don't have to pay for this. And we're saving your life all the time. You may not know it, but it's true.
Oh, my God.
You know what else saves my life, Ben?
What's that,
Lou? Delicious porcupine cookies. When I'm running out of energy and the day's got me down, nothing perks me up like a delicious powdered sugar covered porcupine cookie. You know the shtick. They're wheat free, gluten free, soy free, flourless. You can pick them up at fine retailers such as, Ben, I don't know where you can pick them up.
Jujubee, Old Country Bakery, and Ma Boulange Bakery, and they're all located in the Bellevue, Washington area. And Porcupine Cookies does deliver, only bundles of six, though, within 14 miles of the Bellevue, Washington area. So be sure to check out their Facebook, their Twitter, their website today, and order yourself some cookies or go to the retailers and buy some. They are delicious little morsels. And in addition to that, you can also find us, The News Chew with Ben and Lou, on Twitter at The News Chew, on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Don't email us. I haven't checked it in like 3 fucking months. So just email Lou or me individually.
So don't send emails.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I think we're still on Google Plus. I fucking don't know.
If we are, I don't know about it.
So send us your comments, you know, suggestions, story ideas, whatever. And Lou, close us out for this week.
In China, if you wipe more than twice, you're playing with it.